I'm your host, Jeff Ragavan, and welcome to Alchemy, the podcast all about building a business on the front lines of the new economy. Welcome back to this week's episode of Alchemy. Very excited to welcome Lori Parfit. She's the CEO of LKP Impact Consulting. Lori, well, it was great to see you at MJ Unpacked, but it's nice to now see you on the screen. How you doing?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me. I had an amazing time at MJ Unpacked. Did you?
I did. So much going on there. So I feel like we definitely have quite a bit to discuss today and maybe do a little bit of a recap for the event. You know, for everybody that's tuning in now and hasn't met Lori or hasn't run into her on the circuit, she's doing quite a bit of work in the cannabis industry, and her firm really, you know, focuses on providing fractional CMO capabilities. And she's got a ton of different focuses. She's focused on biz dev. She does branding. She does social. She does digital. She works on activation and marketing strategy. So she's really kind of a jack of all trades and working with a ton of companies out there. And, you know, Lori, I was excited to have you on the show today because, you know, we've been talking for a bit. But why don't we kick off? And you have a pretty diverse background and great experience, you know, on the cannabis side. So you were vice president of customer engagement and marketing at Mission Dispensaries. You're the head of category management at MizCan America, and you're also the director of brand strategy at Topco. So why don't you give us a quick update on what did you think of the of MJ Unpacked, and what were some of maybe the highlights and memorable takeaways? I know you came to our little happy hour with Honeysuckle, so it was great to see you there too.
Yeah, so I love that event with Honeysuckle in that little kind of speakeasy environment. It was a great opportunity to meet so many people, and actually getting to meet you in person and the rest of the Philo team was such an amazing experience. So I really appreciate being included.
And you found it, by the way, because a lot of people...
I did. It took me a little bit of time, I will be honest. I went to the wrong corner first.
Yeah, if it was not easy. And for, you know, for everyone who doesn't know what we're talking about, we hosted a party the day that MJ Unpacked kicked off at this place called Nothing Really Matters Bar. And what's so cool about it is that it is an underground kind of speakeasy. You have to go into the subway on the corner of 50th and Broadway on the southwest side. And it's just kind of strange because you're basically going into the subway to get to the bar. And it's like nothing I've ever seen before. And you walk into this door and then you have this beautiful bar literally underground. And so that was a really fun experience where people like went to four different subway stations to find this place. But it was super, super fun. I'm glad you came.
Yeah, I had an amazing time. And having come from the liquor industry, so if you go way back in my career, I used to work for Beam Suntory. And when I would come to New York, I would go to all the speakeasies because that was kind of what you did in the liquor space. And that was the most unique one I've seen. I have one on the Lower East Side that I like to go to all the time when I'm traveling. But I thought it was really interesting to be actually in a subway stop. I had never seen anything quite like that before.
Yeah, that was so cool about it, you know? So as far as the event is concerned, you know, any speakers that you were like, wow, that was amazing, or any sessions, or give us some of the highlights.
Well, I think what's so great about MJ Unpacked is that it's a curated audience. So really what you're getting at that event is you're getting brands, you're getting licensed operators, you're getting investors. And so you're not getting like you would at a lot of other cannabis conferences. You're not getting general public, people who are just interested in cannabis. You're really meeting those who are there to do business and are truly part of the industry. So that was one of, you know, the things I loved about MJ Unpacked. I spent personally most of my time in the expo hall. So I was actually running my own podcast while I was there and working with the Grown In team. We were the media sponsor. And so I was on the floor talking to a lot of the vendors that were there, a lot of the brands, a lot of the operators. And there's so many different companies that participate that had I not been at that conference, I don't think I would have met them all in one spot.
Mm-hmm.
So I really loved that about the event, and I got to talk to brands, I got to talk to technology, I got to talk to operators, and really learn a lot about what they were doing. And what's great about MJ Impact is that for that expo hall, it's really a plug and play. So you have a lot more participation because you have those glass towers, you have the plug and play booths. And so it's a really nice environment to get to meet people, and everybody's very easygoing. So I loved it.
What were some of the kind of tracks at the event? I know that social equity was a big component of it. Were there anything else that really stuck out to you as far as a theme this year?
So I saw a lot of marketing and branding, which I thought was great, because we actually don't see that in a lot of the tracks at other conferences. They're starting to add it, but because brands are only starting to come out as the next new thing, this was one of the first times where I actually saw a whole track on branding, where they discussed, you know, how do you create that CPG brand, and how do you license that brand across the country? So, you know, I always talk about when you're in a traditional industry like CPG or beverage alcohol, it's very easy to create a national brand. I mean, I'm simplifying it, of course, but you're able to produce in one location, you're able to ship all over the country. You don't have to worry about quality. I mean, you have to worry about quality control, but not because you're producing in different facilities, just the regular process of quality control. You don't have to worry about always finding co-manufacturers in other parts of the country unless you need them. In the cannabis space, the way you become a national brand, you can kind of do it one of a couple of ways. One way would be to be, you know, an MSO, so a multi-state operator. You get a license in a state, you put your brand in that state. That's probably the simplest way to do it. The other way is to be a brand and find licensing partners in the jurisdictions that you want to operate in. And you have to ensure that you have the right SOPs, the right work instructions, and you're really managing that partner to ensure that the product they're getting in California is the same product that they're getting in Illinois as in New York. And so they did a whole panel on that. And I thought that was really interesting because it's something that isn't talked about on a regular basis. It's become more of that new way of bringing brands to fruition nationally.
Totally. Well, I think also, you know, as we're starting to mature, right, as an industry, you know, one of the things that has been constant, I think, for a lot of these brands is, you know, brand loyalty, customer loyalty, and, you know, getting people to really, you know, buy from a specific retailer. And I'm sure you've seen this. There's been countless stories over and over, like there is no brand loyalty. People just buy wherever they are. But I think now that people are really starting to connect and engage with a lot of these brands over time, they're creating loyalty with them. And so I think there's been a shift. I'm sure you've seen this too, at least packaging wise, you know, how the package looks and feels. A lot of the packaging that I've seen recently has just been so beautiful. You're like, oh, I want to buy it just because of the way it looks. It almost has, some of them are more luxurious than others. And so I kind of feel like that's another, you know, track that I've heard a lot of banter on at a lot of these events of how do you create more loyalty with your consumers for your brand? Because we're starting to see a lot of consolidation in the space, right? Mm-hmm. Obviously, the news most recently with Columbia Care getting acquired by Cresco, two mega giants, right? With a lot of different brands underneath that umbrella. And, you know, we're kind of in a very unique part of the industry right now. And I think one of the things that you're doing, which I find it's such a good topic of conversation today, is, you know, you're focusing on that, you know, marketing service from a fractional CMO perspective. And, you know, you and I talked about this a few minutes ago, but we're seeing so many marketers flock in from traditional CPG brands. And I think we've done a really good job in the industry of really letting the world know this is not niche, right? Cannabis is not a non-traditional approach anymore. Like, cannabis is traditional. Cannabis is consumer packaged goods that should be looked at just like the, you know, alcohol and beverage industry is looked at. And so, you know, we see people coming from Kimberly-Clark and from J&J and from, you know, really any giant, P&G, Unilever, and, you know, what you're doing as far as the services that you're providing on the marketing side, there's also a big rise of this fractional CMO. And, you know, I sent you that article that was just in Ad Age, which really talks a little bit about this. And I knew that it wasn't in my head that I was seeing this more and more, but maybe talk to us a little bit about what you see as far as, you know, companies really turning to CMOs for, you know, more short-term opportunities.
Absolutely. So I would tell you that we're starting to see fractional operations in the C-suite more and more. So whether it's a fractional CMO, a CFO, or a CEO, we are starting to see that fractional role pop up more and more. But most specifically, we're starting to see more of that fractional CMO.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have 17 years in consumer packaged goods. And so I am one of those people who came from traditional industry. And, you know, luckily in my career, I did work for some of the big giants, but I also worked for some of the niche players. MissCon America is a niche player. Topco Associates, very niche. And so I kind of got the best of both worlds. I learned how to be a traditional marketer, but I also learned how to be a scrappy marketer. And coming into the cannabis space, it was really eye-opening. So the thought among many traditional professionals is that the cannabis space is the green rush.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, so much going on there. There's so much investment being put into it. And all of that is very true. But when it comes to marketing specifically, operators are kind of at a loss for the most part. And truthfully, we don't see a lot of actual CMOs in the industry. Sometimes we see a VP of marketing, sometimes we see a director of marketing or a head of marketing, but a lot of the major operators, especially the MSOs, the multi-state operators, have sort of shied away from a traditional CMO. And the truth is, in this specific space, the goal is getting your operations up and running. So at the end of the day, nothing matters if you can't get product out the door. And so most operators are spending a ton of their time really focusing on operations. And when it comes to marketing, they either make it secondary or they get concerned that they're going to hire a big CMO. There's going to be a huge salary. There's going to be a major contract. There's expensive benefits. There's an equity component. And then a lot of CMOs negotiate severance packages in the event something doesn't go well. And additionally, when you hire a CMO, not only are you getting the expense of the CMO, but you're also going to get the expense of all the things that they're going to try to do, which is going to be digital and social and activation and PR. Mm-hmm. And so at the end of the day, a lot of operators have shied away from that because they just see it as such a large investment that they can't quite wrap their arms around. And truly tying revenue to marketing activity, especially in the cannabis space, is a challenge. And so the way I approached it, having been essentially the CMO at Forefront, I was the lead marketing person, I got to kind of see that firsthand. And where we see in traditional industries, you know, multi-million dollar marketing budgets, in the cannabis space, we just don't see that.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to be very scrappy. And so back during the capital markets crisis in early 2020, most CMOs that were around the industry were no longer. And so I decided to come in as a fractional CMO. So you get all the benefits of a CMO. You're able to utilize me to hold that role, essentially. We go under contract where you get, you know, a certain amount of time. I build up your marketing strategy. I source your vendors. I can build up your team if you want. And then if you, in the event that you ever feel you need a full-time CMO, I help you source that. But I run it for you as a CMO on a fractional basis at a lot lower of a cost. As a consultant, I'm able to negotiate with vendors much more strategically. And I'm also able to work with my other clients to find synergies between each other so they can all benefit the industry going forward. So I might have a vendor who does, or I might have a client who does one thing and another client who does another, but they could be great partners on something and I can help bring that together. And so that's kind of the benefit of a CMO. You get all the benefits of having a CMO without all of the extra expense headaches that you would get with a traditional full-time one.
Yeah. What is your thought process too, as far as, you know, and this is not a shocker because we see this all the time, but the average tenure of a CMO, you know, used to be 3 to 4 years, and now the average is more like 2 years. Why is that? Like, what, and this is not in the cannabis space, this is really all over. Like, we see a lot of people shifting out of that role. What is the reason for it? Obviously, because you're very involved in that marketing landscape.
So that's a fantastic question. And I actually talk about this in a lot of my speeches, is the average tenure of a CMO in traditional industries is actually 18 months. And that's the average.
Yeah.
That means some only make it like 9 months, some make it more.
But it takes you like, I mean, honestly, it really, you know, you got 6 months to ramp up, understand it, understand where you're going. You know, if you want to make changes to product and packaging, like that takes a long time. So 18 months is literally a blink of an eye.
Well, and in the cannabis space, it's only 6 months. Which is what's very concerning.
Yeah. A lot.
Yeah. And so I would attribute it to misaligned expectations.
Between the company and the CMO?
Yes. And not communicating the right expectations to that CMO. Mm-hmm. And I think it's especially prevalent in the cannabis space, where it's all just kind of up and coming and you're pulling people from traditional industries who are used to multi-million dollar budgets. Is that the expectations of what the leadership team believes marketing should be doing and what marketing is doing, a lot of times don't mix.
Mm-hmm.
And so that tends to set a CMO up for failure. And now,
yeah, one thing I was just thinking too, Lori, that I have seen also is that there's a lot of new kind of quote unquote roles that are called chief growth officer that is kind of somewhat of a hodgepodge between a chief revenue officer and a chief marketing officer, where you have really your focus is obviously growing the business, growing sales, growing footprints. Do you think the chief growth officer is really a better title for a CMO?
I actually don't. So when I hear chief growth officer, I generally hear more along the lines of M&A, partnership development, more biz dev, whereas a chief marketing officer is truly that. So where I actually see the crossover is between a chief marketing officer and a chief experience officer.
Mm-hmm.
And so a chief experience officer, so like a CXO, that's kind of a new role as well. It's really more about that customer journey. But a lot of times it's also a marketing leader. So it becomes kind of your sales and marketing leader. And we see sometimes that role taking on the marketing side as well.
Got it.
But being a CMO in the cannabis space can be a very scary thing, just because it's such a nuanced position. And so we see a lot of professionals opt for the CXO or some variation thereof. But the chief growth officer, I think, is very much more along the lines of M&A. But we are seeing so many of these new C-suite roles, like even chief revenue officer, that's pretty new as well. It used to be just the CEO, the CFO, the CMO. And now we're seeing a ton of new roles just pop up. And especially in this space where everybody's trying to find where they fit in the world. Mm-hmm. I think it's interesting to see these new titles pop up.
Totally. I definitely wanted to pick your brain on the compliance side as well, just because I know that you have an appreciation for compliance. And I know that you're also helping really, you know, evolve the industry. But, you know, obviously we hang our hat at Philo, as, you know, compliance is really at the center of everything we do. So, you know, how do you kind of work with companies to tackle compliance, and what's your kind of focus there?
So again, this is one of the most important things that we do in the cannabis space. So coming from 17 years in CPG, I always talk about compliance and legal being kind of like, we always view them as kind of anti-sales. And the goal was to get that rubber stamp from your general counsel or your head of compliance so that you can move on and do what you wanted to do. However, in the cannabis space specifically, that doesn't fly, and nor should it. This is one of the most highly regulated industries in the country. And so as a marketer in this industry, I always say I'm not a lawyer, but I play one on TV. Because I very much have to approach all marketing from a compliance perspective. So I think marketing in the industry specifically is the intersection of creativity and compliance.
Love it.
And so I always say, whenever I go into an organization and I meet the general counsel or head of compliance, whoever's holding that role, I always say to them, you're going to love me and you're going to hate me. You're going to love me because I am going to be very compliance centric, but you're going to hate me because you're going to end up as a member of the marketing team.
Yes.
Because I'm not going to do anything as if we're not locked and loaded. And I think that is one of the greatest learnings I had coming out of traditional industry. And I come from beverage alcohol, where I had to be very cognizant of that as well, but even more so in this space, is that compliance is one of the most, I'd say the most important thing to consider as you're building out your marketing strategy. And if you don't focus on it, and the second you don't focus on it or you don't think about it, that's when you're going to make a mistake that could set the industry back. Right. One of the first things that someone said to me as I entered the space, and it has stuck with me since then, is what we do now will determine how the industry operates 10 years, 30 years, 100 years from now. So don't screw it up.
Right.
And even though it wasn't being said to me in that context, it's something that I consistently keep in the back of my mind as I'm doing things, because this industry is still so nascent, and whatever we do now is going to affect how this industry operates. And so we need to do everything to the extent that we can the right way.
No, I love it. I love that focus, and I love the way you look at things like that too, because it really is important. It's a very important function of everything everyone's doing from a compliance perspective. So Lori, I don't know how, but we're already over 20 minutes, which is crazy because, 20 minutes sometimes takes a long time, but talking to you, it went by really, really fast. before we break, what do you have going on coming up? Like, are you any other events that you're attending? Anything people should be kind of focused on in the next couple of months? Obviously, you are in New York, and New York is a brand new territory for rec. Lots going on here, but where could people find you? Where are you going to be socializing?
Yes. So that's a great question. So I will actually be speaking at two events on June 22nd. I will be speaking for Tony P's cannabis events. It's going to be at Bounce, which is here in River North in the Chicagoland area. I am his monthly MC, and we are going to have an amazing keynote speaker, and it'll be a wonderful event. So I'd love to see everybody there.
Awesome.
Secondly, I'm going the next night, June 23rd, I am going to be moderating a panel, which Philo will be on.
Yes.
It's going to be about cannabis tech from a marketing perspective. And we will be, it's sponsored by Illinois Women in Cannabis, and we will be at 2112, which is on the north side of Chicago. So you can see me at both of those places. And then later on this summer, I'm so excited. It'll be my third year speaking for Cannabis Conference, which is a conference sponsored by Cannabis Business Times. And it will be in Las Vegas. It's August 23rd to 25th. I will be doing marketing 101 for them and helping them form their marketing track. And what I love about this conference is the level of camaraderie and education is truly unparalleled. And so I hope to see as many people there as possible because it is my favorite conference all year.
Love it. Well, Lori, listen, I appreciate you coming on the show and sharing your wisdom. And of course, it was great to see you, and I look forward to seeing you in Chicago. And yeah, everybody, Lori Parfit, CEO of LKP Impact Consulting. Thanks, Lori.
Thank you.
This episode of the Alchemy Podcast was brought to you by Philo. Thanks for tuning in. And if you enjoyed today's show, don't forget to subscribe and share.